Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking our 90-hour court access in the common law course. You can find the link on our front page and in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. You can also join our Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in the Start Meeting Room. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands.
Okay, Jan, do we have any announcements or questions tonight?
Yes, we have two questions, one long one and one short one. The long one came in first, so we'll start with that. I am new to following National Liberty Alliance and new to really researching common law. I have 11 cases against me in a county circuit court, and I had 3 cases I filed against individuals as the plaintiff, which were dismissed. I am studying common law and how to get my son back. He was taken from me unlawfully in a family court case by my ex-husband in January 2023, and I have been fighting ever since. I'm trying to fill in my affidavit from the NLA website. The court abuse page provided the affidavit template. I have a few questions about the affidavit and some other questions as well. Due to the number of cases and the level of information and events that transpired, do I fill out an affidavit for each case, even though they are all related to one another, all stemming from the divorce case? Do I attach my exhibits evidence? Will I hear back after submitting? The affidavit mentioned monetary damages. Is there a reason for this? I thought that was to be done separately in a civil suit. Is there a different way to fight for my son other than filling out this affidavit? I was planning on eventually filing a suit in district court against at least 60 individuals involved, but that does not get my son back to me, which is what needs to happen more than anything. I did try going through the sheriff's office 2.5 years ago, but no one would listen to my evidence. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, it sounds pretty complex. It sounds like a lot of things are going on through this case. And, you know, without really knowing all of the issues, I can't really comment too much on the details. It's kind of lengthy. But the bottom line, really, is the denial of due process. That's the whole thing. Family court, divorce court, and family court, kind of one and the same. You know, you go through the divorce court and you go through a process, but they also deal with the family court side problems. And usually what they do is, matter of fact, I believe they always do, is they give the children their own lawyers. And then, of course, both parents come in with their lawyers. So it's a bunch of lawyers, and nothing ever gets done. Things go on and move from month to month, hearing to hearing. It just goes on forever. They maintain the status quo. If there is a status quo to be maintained in the case, I don't know. Also, it sounds like the husband might be connected in some way. Gets the ear of the court somehow, one way or another. Maybe because as a lawyer, he's got a lawyer. Maybe the mother doesn't have a lawyer. I don't know. If that's the case, well, then it's going to always go to the way of the lawyer. What you have to understand, the most evil courts in the United States is the family courts. They're destructive. They are not there for the purpose of healing a family. They're not there for the purpose of finding justice. Everybody's in it for money. Even the judge is a lawyer, so it's all just all a bunch of lawyers, and it's endless. You get nowhere. There's only one solution, and that is to file for a denial of due process. I don't know what the other issues are, whether they're worth arguing or anything. If the point is you want to get your child back, then that's the process and the way to go. But you have to know what you're doing there. Therein is another problem. You're not going to get a lawyer that'll go into a federal court and file papers for you for denial of due process. I don't see that happening. That's a problem. So you have to go in yourself, which is really the best way. The problem is that I don't know what kind of knowledge the individual has. They probably don't have much really court access knowledge. So you have to know how things work. You have to understand how the federal district courts are structured. I do believe, because it's not a status quo case, that you could probably win in a court, a federal court. And what you're looking for in your wherefore clause is to cease and desist and return back to you your property. And now it's kind of strange for the child being your property, but well, really they are your property until they're old enough to take care of themselves. Your person is the first property you own. And so the same thing is with your children. Now, I don't know the issues that took place, and the last thing you want to do is argue the issues in a federal court. If you try to argue any issue in a federal court that is not a constitutional violation, they will immediately throw the case out. It doesn't matter how much you put together for a denial of due process. You add one little thing in there that they can't hear, case dismissed. You're thrown out of the court. So you have to stay focused in that particular court, which is whatever your federal district court is. You have to stay focused on the denial of due process. The other side will try to bring up issues. The other side is brain dead in many different ways. And especially, mostly, these people are state court people, these lawyers. So if they come into a federal court trying to deal with this issue with state court knowledge and minimum to no knowledge of the federal court, they will bring up issues. And the moment they bring up issues, you have to object to that. It has nothing to do with the case. This is a case of due process. So again, there is a book that I did write. It's a very inexpensive book. Let's see, you'll find that under the Welcome tab. You come into Books by John Duresh. And you find a book here that might be helpful to you to get you going. It's Understanding the Federal Courts. So it's not a big book, but it has a lot of good information, gives you a basic understanding of the federal courts. The other thing is you have to know how to deal with the courts, how to write papers, papers that are focused, and whatever processes you have to go through. And it is kind of simple. You're going into the federal court for them to champion the Constitution. And the Constitution says that they don't have the right to take anything from you without due process. Anytime a statute is used, and you need to understand this, and you need to be able to bring up Supreme Court rulings on this. And so once a statute is used, it lacks due process, because a statute makes you guilty immediately, number one. Number two, you're coming in under common law. The law of the land. I wouldn't use the word common law. I'd come in under the law of the land, which identifies with common law. And under common law, you have a right of due process. So you have to bring up, whatever rights that you might be able to pull out of the Bill of Rights. There's probably a couple of them you can pull out, which are violations. And again, the due process clause is the key. You've been lacked it. Process can only be heard in a court of law. A family court is not a court of law. It's a statutory court. So again, that's the best I can tell you. Now, how to get in is something that you have to work out. I don't believe you'll get a lawyer to do it for you. It sounds like you're doing this business without a lawyer. Maybe you have some experience. I don't know if you've taken our course. The course would be helpful to be able to, you know, be able to go through the system, navigate yourself through the system. And but the key points is really this. You have to bring up a constitutional issue. The issue is a denial of due process, and you talk about nothing else. That court shouldn't have any business dealing with any other business that was brought up in the other courts. And you could potentially win in that court, and you should be able to get back and get some access to your child. You know, maybe there'd be a again, I don't know the details. There's mom and his dad, and, you know, I don't know what the arguments are. I don't know what the relationships would be. I don't know, you know, usually the father doesn't have a lot of time, and they'll accept the mother having most of the time with the child because they could be home. But in today's environment, both people work, so that becomes another problem. Anyway, that's all got to be worked out. But first, you have to have that court overruled for denial of due process, and you're back to square one. But you got to do some homework. You got to really understand what's going on. Okay, Jan, back to you.
John?
Yes.
I'm not able to get into the queue. I just hit star six, and it unmutes me.
So, oh, okay. I didn't open that up. Let me open that up now, and you can pop in, okay?
Oh,
hang on a second. Okay. Okay, if anybody wants to get into queue, it's a star six and a one if you're on a phone, and if you're on an Apple browser, it should be a button. Okay, Elizabeth, you can get in now. There's no one in the queue yet, so... Okay, back to you, Jan. What's the second question? Jan, are you muted? I think we might have lost Jan. Am I coming through? Are people hearing me?
Can you hear me now, John?
I can hear you now. You sound like a Verizon, an old Verizon commercial.
Yeah. You're too close. If I filed a writ of error striking the magistrate's order, and the magistrate grants the order to strike my writ error, what would my next move be?
Well, it sounds like you're trying to do a writ of error. And herein is a major, major problem. I filed many writs of errors. Usually they just ignore them. One judge came out and told me I couldn't do it, and he referred to a particular rule. I forget which rule it is, but they have these rules that they made up, and, you know, self-protecting rules, of course. The rule, it abrogated the right of the people's writs. There's about five of them. One of them is a writ of error. And so they've abrogated that through rule. I mean, that, of course, in itself is an impossibility. But they believe it could be done, and they've done it. And the people believe it can be done, and they accept it. And that's where we're at with that. So it's a huge, huge problem trying to deal with that. I don't know. What court are they in, did they say?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Well, the federal courts are a problem with this because those are the ones that violated them. If you're in the state courts, again, they're not as bright, and the lawyers aren't that smart either. It might be interesting to know exactly what the lawyer on the opposition said in order to move the judge to, ignore your writ, which I believe was a writ of error, probably. So that's the best I can tell you on that. It's a problem. And that's why we have to do what we have to do here. That's why we're trying to get into the United States Supreme Court and getting our papers up there, which we are refiling. I know everybody should know this by now. And let me just do something here. John, you're unmuted. Make sure your mic is muted. We don't hear nothing in the background there. Anyway, we are trying to file papers into the courts. We got so far, so we got about $200 and change, $250, I think, that have been donated for this case. We need about $1,000. So let me ask everybody in this call tonight, and anybody listening to this call on YouTube or Rumble, and everybody can probably afford at least $20, you know, so or more. Maybe, you know, we have had a person who gave us $100. We had a person who gave us $50. Most of the people, a couple others, three or four, gave us $20. I think we had one person give us 50, I don't remember. But in any event, you know, we've collected under $300, but we need 1,000 to go through the process. I am going through the rewriting of the paperwork, which is really just the reformatting, not necessarily rewriting. I'll be adding a few extra sentences in there because of some new knowledge gained. And we'd like to file this with the courts. Our filing will be on 6 Supreme Court justices. And then we will be filing with the administration about 40 individuals. So we have a lot of mailing to do, a lot of papers to be printed, a lot of toner, a lot of papers, a lot of mailing. So anyway, that's where we're at. We do desperately need people's help to fund this project. You know, we pull in enough here at National Liberty Alliance just to keep alive. And so we really need people to kind of get behind some of the projects we have going. And, of course, that project right now, the most important one, is trying to get before the Supreme Court our papers. You know, we also have the sheriff's project, and people should be connecting with their sheriff, getting them a copy of the book, Government by Consent, and a copy of the books, handbooks for sheriffs. Those are pretty cheap. You should get a few of those. But you should make contact with your sheriff and try to get them educated. And that book, Government by Consent, will definitely educate the sheriff. We have a pretty long chapter on sheriffs, you know, going back through the history, their powers and their authorities and so on. But not only that, there's a lot of things in the law that it's important for them to know and understand. So the book in itself, as in a totality, really is a good benefit for any sheriff who really wants to be a sheriff, which is a, you know, a sheriff is a law enforcer or a law enforcement officer, not a code enforcement officer. Unfortunately, most sheriffs have permitted themselves to be the water boys for the police departments, which is absurd because we have law enforcement in several cases. So, okay, with that, I guess there's nothing else, no other questions going, right?
No, nope, you're done, John.
All right, so we'll go to the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, again, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and should be a button there if you're on an Apple browser, and we'll take our first caller. I think it's Elizabeth. Go ahead, Elizabeth. You got the mic.
Yeah, hi, John. Good evening. This is Elizabeth. I'm from Arizona. I started to talk about this last week. I have an email company I bought. You know, I bought a year's worth of service, and then the time came up for renewal. I didn't get any notices, and I never do auto pay, never auto renewal on anything. And they took money out of my checking account, and so I wasn't able to reach them. They're in Switzerland, and I tried to find out if they were registered in the U.S. And there are websites up there that say, hey, you can register in the U.S. from a foreign country, and you know, no problem, but they don't give any, you know, so I don't know really how to check if they are registered or not. But this is the thing. I filed a dispute with my credit union because they use my bank card. And I get this and I wrote them an email trying to explain to them that I don't do auto pay on anything. And I had filed a dispute for fraud, and I got this email back that said, you know, filing a dispute is no way to ask for a refund. I mean, it was like, I think maybe it was AI, I don't know, but it admonishes me in this note, and that I have to cancel the dispute before
Bank said this.
No, excuse me. The email company emailed me back. And they said, if I, you know, this is no way to file for dispute. And in order for us to do anything, you have to cancel the dispute, or we're going to, you know, and, you know, you're and or we aren't going to do anything. So anyway, I did get the refund because my credit union filed it as a fraud transaction. But they told me at the credit union that they cannot see, I have emails on this account from the last year that I've already paid for. And, I'm going to have to go after them for that. I'm going to have to try.
Let me ask you a couple questions here. I don't understand that you have a company for email you're paying. So have you got your own URL, they put together and set up emails for you on your own personal URL?
Well, I went back to one that I haven't used. I'm not using that. I don't have it to use anymore. In fact, I had to change it on NLA.
What are they charging you a year for? And how much are they charging you a year?
$47 and some change. And it is, you know, it's not about the amount of money. It's just the way it's being handled. It's kind of, I forgot one piece. When they took the money out of my account, they used PayPal. And I don't use PayPal. I got away from PayPal a long time ago. And they said, well, since you used a third party for this transaction, we don't have to send you a refund.
But didn't the bank get a refund?
I did get a refund, yeah.
So don't worry about it. Forget about it. Just ignore them now. Look, the thing is this, okay? They're not going to waste their time bothering you any more than for $47 anyway. But here's
it's not about the amount of money, though. It's about what they did. You know, they did the PayPal transaction and accused me of doing it. And,
Elizabeth, hold on a minute. I had to mute you because, you know, I guess you can't hear me while you're talking. But there's things I don't understand. I'm trying to understand something so I can give you a little bit of information. What's the URL on the email? For instance, elizabeth@aol.com or whatever, you know, URL you want to use. What's the URL? Is it a personal URL that you bought? So explain that to me.
I paid for the service. It's proton.me.
Okay. So why are you going? I guess they charge.
It's a long story why I went to them, because I had problems with hosting services for almost 2 years, and I lost emails, and one of them put a virus on my computer. So I just got them parked over at GoDaddy.
Okay.
And I'm using Microsoft 365. And
you're at GoDaddy. You know, if you're at GoDaddy, then you got your own URLs, no?
Oh yeah, I have my own domains. I had them for years, but because of all the, it's all messed up. The internet stuff is, people are not running things the way they used to. It's terrible. So I just.
All right. Listen, I had to mute you again because you can't keep going on and on and on. I'm trying to understand more and I'm trying to give you some information, but you go from one point to another and we're not having a conversation here. You got your own URL, so that I understand. So you already purchased that and GoDaddy's pretty good. They're pretty cheap. Usually you can get them for 2 years, 1 year, and I think you can get them for longer terms also. But what you want to find is there is a email, what would they say? For instance, there's an email hosting company. Trying to think of the name of the one. Services, Mailgun. We use Mailgun support. Okay, so you can try Mailgun at, I think it's mailgun.com maybe. Let me open this up and see where it's at. Mailgun. You can go to mailgun.com, all right? And then you can get your information there. You can file in there. You can move your URLs over to there. It sounds like you understand a little bit about that, so it shouldn't be too difficult. You can move your URLs over to there. And then you can purchase your email. They'll host it for a very cheap price. I mean, we pay, you know, quite a bit of money because we do large emails. Okay, we send out, you know, 10,000 emails at a time, so it costs us money every time we do that. You know, you're just using it for basic emails, so just for them to be a service for you should be rather cheap. It shouldn't be much more than maybe $20 a year, maybe $30 a year. You already got your emails done, and you're all set up. So that you should be able to do on your own without a problem, and, you know, it'll be cheaper, and you control everything. All right, I'm unmuted.
John, I don't mean to talk too much. I was trying to just finish a thought, but I've been doing internet stuff for 25 years, and I've been through a lot of those, and I'm not trying to, what bothers me about this is that they lied, and they used what they did to prevent me from having a refund, because they said I went through PayPal. That's one of their payment options, and I always use a card. I don't go through any of those. So it's wrong. It's wrong what they're doing.
Hold on. It's been settled. Why are you even bothering with it? Forget about it. Move on. It's been settled. You got your refund. Why are you, they can say what they want. Just don't answer them. Put them into your trash when the email comes through. Block them, whatever you want to do. Ignore them. Why are you living in that aggravation? It's done.
Yeah, but that's what we've always done. It's just once we get our money, we just go. But what they did was illegal.
It doesn't matter. Do you want to spend a lot of money, go to court, and pursue them for some reason? I mean, if you can go after every little thing, the big things you want to deal with.
I'm just trying to learn, that's all.
It's a waste of your time because you've already been funded and you're not going to get anywhere anyway, even if you sued them because you already received your money back. I mean, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
So just move. There are a lot of services out there that will host your euro. GoDaddy is a good place to purchase them from, and you put your
it's
euro.
Okay. It's okay. It's not the greatest. None of them are great. I mean, they're just not what they used to be.
Well, a lot of them used to have a really good one ourselves, and very inexpensive, and then they sold out to another company, and then they started ripping me off, and they started billing me with things that I never purchased. So I know there are a lot of problems out there. All right, okay. But anything else? Otherwise, we'll take our next caller.
I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks. Ross, I think you're next. Let's see. Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross.
Okay. I heard the Democratic Socialist Party is in the meetings they propose to abolish your Senate. My subject said that it would never happen. When people say it would never happen, it could happen.
But what is it they're saying could never happen? Something with the Democrats?
No. Democratic Socialist Party is proposing to abolish the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, well, the Democrat Socialist Party, first of all, the Democrat Party is unlawful to begin with, but people are too ignorant to realize that because they don't know the law. The Constitution guarantees us a Republican form of government. The word Democrat doesn't exist anywhere in our founding documents. It exists. They had conversations that brought it up. I believe, as a matter of fact, in the Federalist Papers number 10 and the Anti-Federalist Papers number 10, I believe it's both in both of them, they talked about, I think it was Madison who talked about the problems with the democratic system. So it was a system that we never agreed to. They changed us to a democracy in the minds of the people, but we are a republic. We're not a democratic republic. There's no such thing as a democratic republic. That's an oxymoron. It's water and oil. It don't work. And they're keeping of talking over the years, democracy this, democracy that, democracy this. They've convinced the people we're a democracy. It's so serious that people, our elected individuals, believe we're a democracy. Even Supreme Court justices claim or use the term democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. And that's why they debate all things. They think that they can get together and debate the First Amendment, our Second Amendment, and any other liberty they want to debate, they debate it. They don't have the authority to do that. We need to get rid of political parties to begin with, but the Democrats, we're not that. Democratic social democracy, whatever they call it, again, that's just another term with another problem, with another assault upon our republic. These people all, if we applied the law, we can get them all out of power. And, you know, it's kind of radical. It sounds radical what I'm saying. I do know that. And it sounds crazy maybe to the lives of the people. But the bottom line is we should be able to go into court and remove these Democrats because we're not a democracy. And this is what they're built upon. First of all, we should get rid of political parties anyway. You know, we shouldn't necessarily be a conservative. We shouldn't be this. We shouldn't be that. You know, we should just be people with common sense. We should require people come in to represent whatever issues, as far as like Congress is concerned. They got 18 powers. We've given them authority to address, and they need to address that with common sense. And common sense is simply common sense. Really, is common law. Common law simply is common sense. That's what common law really is. And so this is what should be applied on our total government. We'd get rid of party bosses, so you wouldn't have all these blocks of crazy people, because the party bosses are requiring these Democrats to vote and be in a certain status, and they all follow the line. They fear the party bosses. It's ridiculous. They should fear the people. They'll never fear the people until we get rid of political parties. So we'll be doing, we've done papers on this before, but we're going to do papers and file it with the administration to see, because we're at a point in time where the Democrat Party is imploding, and I think we're going to see a large, big move towards the Republicans within both houses. Huge, I think. That's my opinion anyway. And if we can get to that point and that happens and the Democratic Party does implode, which I think it's going to, we have an opportunity to get rid of party bosses. Let's get rid of parties. We don't need them. You know, guess what would happen? And again, I just did a paper on this recently. Guess what would happen if you got rid of political parties? People wouldn't know what to do. They'd go into Congress and they'll think, well, I should represent the people. Isn't that what we sent them there for? Why are they representing a party boss and working in a block that causes nothing but havoc and just gridlock? Okay, get rid of the party bosses, gridlock goes away, and sanity comes back. And that's what we have to convince the people of. And that's a hard thing to do, because people have been living with this insanity for so long, it seems natural and normal, but it's not. Back to you, Ross.
I think that people been conditioned so long, they think, oh, we can't eliminate, we need the parties for that reason.
Right.
It's not really we ordinary citizens who put us into this political party system. It was the people in the old money realm of society. The rich people put us in there because they want us to be the foot soldiers.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, that is true. You know, the money makes everything move up there, and that's why we have to make changes. First of all, that should be unlawful. You know, basically what they're doing is they're paying our representatives to represent them instead of us. And so, therefore, they do that which is in opposition to what the people really want. I mean, when are we going to wake up? But you know what? You can't wake up if you don't have knowledge. So, again, that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. You know, the people who have gone to school and have come out of school, they got to get re-educated, okay? There is no other solution. You have to spend some time and get re-educated. It's like pulling teeth for people to get them to go and spend some time on an education. We've got lots of free education here. You can get a great education without even putting out a penny. Just take the courses, the free courses we have. The other thing is we have to get our committees of safety going so that on the county level, on the grassroots level, we force the schools teach our children a proper education. We have to teach our children the Constitution. We have to start at a very young age. They should learn a little bit even in first grade and second grade, whatever it is that is tolerable for their age limit, which is acceptable and reasonable. By the time they get out of school, they should be able to go into a court of law and represent themselves. They should understand the law. They should understand the structure of the courts. They should know the Constitution. They should know the Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution. They should know what the law of the land is. They should know what their rights are. They should know that they should give back in time. They should join their committees of safety when they're old enough. And they have a duty to protect the Constitution by joining a committee of safety. And children have to learn that. But if people don't learn that, and our children don't learn that, then they'll learn to be what they're learning right now, to be demoralized. They'll learn to, at some point in some places, it's insane. Those places, those people, that whole system, all these people should be collected and sent out of this country. Now, who do these people think they are? They can come in and create these courts and then try to force people to participate in these courts. And it's the court of Satan is what it is. So, again, it's ignorance that drives this whole thing. And until the people decide to stop being ignorant and get a knowledge, that's it. You know, I know people only have so much time in life, but this should be the two most important things, save the family. Setting the family aside is not part. Well, let's say there's three most important things, God, family, and country. Those are the three most important things. And if you're ignorant in any of those three things, then you got three problems. Because, you won't have a good family, you won't have a relationship with God, and you won't have control over your country, your government. And these are the three things that people don't spend time on. Put some time, stop getting out there tweeting and going through all this craziness and wasting time, texting, and spend some time learning, and then spend some time exercising your unalienable right to have government by consent. That's what we, the people, need to do. But few listen, unfortunately. And, we're trying to move the administration to make the first move on this, especially with the political parties. Maybe I think they might be in a position to understand what we're talking about. Here's the big problem. Here is the big, big problem. Okay? It's not what that you don't know that's going to get you. It's what you think you know and ain't so. That's what's going to get you. And this is the problem with many people. And it's the problem with our representatives. The moment you talk about something that's outside of their norm, they immediately cut it off. That's crazy. They don't listen to the conversation. They don't listen to the position. And if they'd only listen, they'd see the logic, and they'd listen to our founding fathers. George Washington, made it clear in two-thirds of his farewell address. He was very clear. The destruction of this nation is party system. You can't have parties. It doesn't work with a republic. It works with a democracy, but only to their favor, to build an oligarchy, and that's what they've done. They've used us, turned us into a democracy, and created an oligarchy. Trump broke the mold, and hopefully he's going to bring us back to a republic. But the question gets back to the same thing that we found in the very beginning, that Benjamin Franklin said, we got a republic if you can keep it. The question, how are you going to keep it? You have to spend time to keep a republic. You have to spend time to protect that Constitution. You have to spend time to make sure your government is doing the right thing. You have to spend time to recall these individuals that are not doing the will of the people, that's doing damage to who we are as a people. But again, it's up to the people. And it's a hard thing to get the people to listen and to do something. Anything else, Ross? Thank you, Ross. Okay, we'll take our next caller here. It's Frank. Frank, you got the mic. What state are you from, Frank?
I'm in New Jersey, Monmouth County.
Frank?
We have a sheriff's project. We ran Constitution Party. We did all these things. I'm listening to you, and we keep getting 1% of the vote.
Yeah.
And we educate, and you guys are the best, out of all the groups I ever worked with. I emailed and called Jan because I'm going to take the courses, probably give $100, I don't know, about $5 a month, because I definitely want to get up to speed on court presentation. And again, I have my friend in Old Bridge that was overcharged the water, that we should take him to court civilly. And of course, we have to go through all the administrative stuff before we could go to the New Jersey Superior Court, which is a common law court here in New Jersey. So FYI on that. But what I wanted to say now is, could you guys, email me, let me know what help you need. And maybe my situation could tie into it as an example, because I have all kinds of examples of corruption. But you say you're trying to get the administration to do things, and I've done this years ago, like 10 or 12 years ago. I remember doing a lot of letters for you guys, sending it out. Jan has my number, email, mon.tp.coalition. Let me know what I need to do. And then, I'm going to take the courses, and I'm going to work on this water bill, because the final thing I want to say is, in New Jersey, you should be familiar with this, the Larry Logman case of 2005, where he went to access the grand jury. He said he had a common law right, but Barry Album, our Supreme Court Justice, they ruled against him. And by the way, Barry Album referred to us, as you were just saying, as the Founding Fathers created our democracy and gave us mechanisms. Now I can see that doesn't work. So I can take this probably to the Supreme Court. We could see that's all bull. But with all that tied together, let me know what I can do, and maybe we could get something going on that case as well. That's it.
Right. Well, we are looking for people to work with us. We are coming, hopefully, with a couple of interviews with some individuals that have some ideas and things to offer, and the different groups, and we can support them. But we do need volunteers. We need people to do all kinds of things. I mean, one, we need people that will help us to be able to make contact with the existing committees of safety, to kind of reel them in and reconnect them with the national, NLA, and to try to make sure that they're getting a proper education and a system in any way we can. But we don't have the people to really do that. It does take time. I mean, we are trying to work on going professional. In order to do that, we need money. There's only two ways to get money that I'm aware of. Anybody who knows how to get money, how to approach different organizations or corporations to maybe give us some money for the purpose of really, recapturing our republic, really. Two ways that I'm aware of. Number one, someone with deep pockets falls upon our website, comes in, listens in, and realizes, hey, this is a good place for me to throw some money at. Okay, that's one way. The other way is to hit critical mass. And when you hit critical, we got over 10,000 people right now as membership, but we need critical mass. Critical mass should give us 10,000 people that'd be interested enough that would give us $5 a month or more. If 10,000 people were giving us $5 a month or more, that's $50,000 a month. We can give people salaries to do the work that's necessary and hire people to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But until we can accomplish that one way or the other, we need volunteers. And people who maybe are retired and want to put some time into this, maybe a couple hours a day or 4 hours a day or whatever they can. If we get enough people, we can then start to reconnect and get contacts and somewhat control over the committees of safety. And when I say somewhat control, I mean to get them to the point where they become educated. They need to understand they have to have a proper education. If people are out there creating committees of safety and just going off to the deep end, then they're not going to accomplish nothing. You can't work with the county next door because they got a different agenda. So if everybody has, if you got 200 committees of safety with 200 agendas, well, you haven't organized together. United we stand, divided we fall. We have to come together on a major on a structure, and that's what we set up. And the structure we set up is not the structure that we created. It's the structure that our founding fathers created. So why reinvent the wheel? Learn it and do it and use it. NLA has no desire to give anyone marching orders, but we do desire these committees of safety to connect with us and work with us, tell us what they're doing. Maybe we can give them better ideas. Maybe another county committee of safety can pipe in and say, hey, you know, we were doing the same things, and this is what we found works really great. You see, getting them to communicate together, you assist and get past a lot of the problems that you don't have to get lost in because someone else has already got lost in them and developed a solution. So we have to communicate, so that's an important thing. So anybody that thinks they have anything that will be helpful to get the National Liberty Alliance out there, you know, people on social media, if we have some people that can go out in social media and represent us and get people interested to come here and take a look to see what it is that we're doing. Through that process, we can potentially get to a critical mass. You know, we got a lot of things going. We've got a lot of great papers going. We got papers going into the court. We have, of course, a copying the administration of our papers. We also have a paper that we've done that on the party system itself that will eventually get to the administration to try to convince them that, you know, that the parties are destructive. And use our founding fathers to wedge that point, to get that point across, because our founding fathers were clear on this. No republic is going to survive a party system. It's destructive. We are a natural law republic. We don't need a party. What do they want to discuss up there? We gave them 18 things to discuss. They need not discuss anything else. They need not discuss anything on our Bill of Rights. They do it all day long, trying to take our guns away, trying to take our free speech away, trying to hinder our relationship with God, demoralize our children. It just goes on and on and on. And until the people get up and do something about it, it's just going to continue. And it doesn't, you know, we can convince Trump maybe to do certain things. That administration is really moving in leaps and bounds. They're doing great work. And they are talking things that no other administration has talked. I do believe they're primed to hear certain arguments that they might consider. And we'll try to make those arguments, and hopefully they'll consider them. But Trump and his administration can give us back our republic. The question gets back to the same thing from the beginning. Can you keep it? You can't keep it if you're not educated. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And that's what Thomas Jefferson said, a founding father, clear as a bell. So anyway, that's what we have to do. And anybody wants to volunteer some help, they can think they could do something to work with us, to help us, just send an email to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org and let them know that, hey, you know, this is what I got to offer. Maybe we could do this. So what do you think? We'll get together and we'll talk, okay? We'll interview people on these issues and see once what we can do. And maybe we can't do what they're suggested to do, but maybe there's something else we can offer that they could do and they will do. But, you know, we're volunteers and we need help. So help us. Frank, are we done?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that's when I meant help, I meant volunteer. I'm going to retire. I don't need to have a salary. It's all volunteer. So whatever you guys need, I'll email Jan.
Yeah, email Jan and give him a little bit of information, and we'll get together and talk on what potentially you're thinking of and how we can, you know, use that to really push forward the work we're doing here.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we'll take our next caller. It is Robert from Texas. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. Love you, man. You wanted me to call in, and we were going to talk about how we might address some of your needs. I went through the last show recording and wrote down 10 things, and we talked about some of those. We were going to explore the
I think we lost you, Robert. You're going to explore what? Robert, you still there?
Hmm.
I think I just heard you. You hear us, Robert? All right, I think Robert's got some problems. He'll have to get back into the queue, I guess. When we move to the next caller, if you're hearing me, you'll be popped out of the queue. If you pop back in, we'll try to pick you right back up again. But until then, we'll take our next caller. And the next caller is anonymous. Maybe you can give us your first name and your state. But before you do that, I just want to let everyone know we only got two people left in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. Apple browser should be a button to get into the queue. So, anonymous, first name and state.
John, this is Elizabeth again from Arizona.
Okay. Yep.
I mentioned that I wasn't very clear, but I got my money back for the email thing, but they're keeping my emails that are mine that I paid for last year. And
don't you have access to go in there and point it wherever you want to point it?
I beg your pardon?
Don't you have access to a place where you can go into your Urals and
no,
and
I don't. They took it away. They took everything away because I had filed a dispute with my credit union. They don't want anything on their record, and they're not registered in the United States, from where I can tell.
Where are they located? You said they're located in
the main office in Switzerland.
Well, they have offices in Switzerland, but do they have any offices in the United States?
No, I've tried, and I just find these websites that say, hey, if you're a foreign, a company, you can have a corporation, you can sign up in the United States, no problem. And there's nothing, it's like, sign up, and there's...
You could try to do is this, and I don't know how much it's going to work because the problem is they're out of the country. That's the big problem. But, that's stealing. They're robbing you. That's against the law. You could take it to small claims court. This way you can go in and represent yourself. Depending on where you go, some of the cities, for instance, you're not interested in the money.
Switzerland,
interested in getting your Urals back and control over your Urals. So what you want to do is take it to the small claims court in your town, city, or whatever, and see what happens. File the complaint. Now, being a company outside of the United States, they may say, who cares?
To be registered here.
On the other hand, the other side of things, they have certain controls, and they have to have the right to do business here. They have to file themselves somewhere. And that's another
thing. I can't find it, though, dear. I can't find it. I've looked a lot. Yeah, but anyway.
Let me tell you one other thing. Okay, here's another thing. And again, I'm not saying people should use AI. AI has got problems, especially when it comes to, status quo. If you're going to talk to them about law, you can't trust anything. You're going to talk to them about God, you can't trust anything. So all the major subjects, you can't really talk because they're at status quo. I do use Grok, and Grok, I think, is pretty good. I need certain things. This is the perfect thing. You go on Grok and say, hey, this is the people I've been doing business with. I'm trying to locate what licenses do they have to have. You give them what information you got on that company. It's a Switzerland-based company, fine. They have to be registered to do business.
Okay.
We'll find all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Think about your question to Grok. List out what you want. You need contact in the States. You need to know registration, where is the registration, how can I take a look at what that registration is all about. You can even ask Rock if you can get anywhere to merit a complaint in a small claims court because they robbed your Urals. Okay? So Grok is great for that. I mean, it's open AIs too, but I like Rock.
Okay. Well, you use it like a search engine, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's tremendous. It's tremendous. I use it so much now. It helps in the research to a certain degree. But anyway, I had a problem with a car. I go to throw the problem in with my car. But the information they give, I had a problem with one of my my printers recently. Grok solved it. I mean, I had to go read these stupid books to go through all these things to figure things out. Instead, I went to Grok, and they gave me step 1 through 4, and it was done.
Okay.
You don't have to read through all the books. Okay. So it saves a lot of time on simple problems. This is a simple problem.
It's the simple ones that aren't so important, but, you know, it could be a big one just as much, you know, I mean.
No status quo for it. The Grok's going to give you the real deal.
Okay. All right.
AI is going to be the destruction of this world. I think the Lord will come maybe about the same time when AI is starting to destroy it. I don't know. But AI is going to destroy the world. It's already destroying people because people are relying. They're not researching. They're not reading. They're not doing anything. They go to Grok, and Grok just leads them. Children use it for school. You know, it's a problem. It's a major problem. But nevertheless, it's there. So if it could benefit you, use it.
I've heard two interviews with Elon Musk saying that, you know, that AI releases the demon.
Well, yeah, to some degree, I think it is. It is an arm of
fallen angel technology. That's what I call it. Anyway, yeah, okay. Well, I agree with
Musk on that statement. You know, it's an arm of Satan to some degree. It's a problem. And I'll tell you what, look at some really smart individual, smart in technology, smart in how things work, and so on and so forth, and they can develop a huge company like Musk has, and they can literally control the world through AI.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous thing. You know?
It'll only go so far, but yeah, I hear you. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
They want to take you out. They can feed the information into some drone, and that drone will come to your neighborhood and search you out.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. It's against my religion. But anyway.
It is a problem, but it's here, and you can use it as the best search engine you can get, I'll tell you that.
It's tempting, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, look, use it as a search engine, you know, but again, you're not going to get you're only going to get status quo on the major issues.
Yeah, well, maybe I don't know. Next time, I don't know, I'll just be more careful. But I've lost all my emails. So anyway, but that's a small thing, I guess, for some people. But, okay, well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Photograph, find the information, and then go to small claims and see where you go. It's only going to cost you, what, $15-$20 to file a small claims? And the only thing you're looking for is to get your, what do you call it, your euros back.
I'm gonna ask my credit union, the fraud department, to send me a letter that, you know, they did send me back the refund, but they cannot help me with the intellectual property I lost as a result of this. So.
Well, I gave you what I can give you on that. So.
Okay, thank you so much, John.
Thank you. All right, we'll take our next caller in a minute. Just want to make the note that we only have two other people in the queue. Anybody who wants to get into the queue, *601. If you're on the phone, should be a button there if you're on an app or a browser. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. Is on a wireless caller, 282 area code. Is that a 282? Let me see. Yeah, was that 262? It's hard to see. Maybe a 262 area code. You're a wireless caller. Give us your first name and your state. You should have heard. You were muted. Wireless caller, we hear you in the background. You got the mic. 0042 phone number. Hello? I guess they're not paying attention.
Can you hear me, John?
We can hear first name and state.
Fred from Wisconsin.
Fred, go ahead. You got the mic from Wisconsin.
Okay. On September 1st, they're going to foreclose on my house. Can I file at the federal court for denial of due process?
Well, is this just starting?
Yes, they sent me a letter.
Yeah, well, you got lots of time, okay? Just make sure you show up into court and make the argument that they don't have the authority to do this or whatever. You know, you'll find yourself going back and forth to court every month or two, and you can go for years like this. And then when they finally go to the point to take your property, you know, just stay in your house as long as you can. You're going to be able to live there for free, ultimately, because it's going to take them time to kick you out, to go through all the paperwork, then they have to get a dispossessed, they have to go through the sheriff. All that takes time. And the paperwork has to be done before they can do
I
that.
I didn't receive anything yet. Just
okay,
a letter that they're going to start on the first foreclosure.
Okay, well, when they do, you want to follow up with the fact that the whole system is a fraud. If you go to Education Starts Here on our website under the blue bar on the top right, on the top, you'll see Education Starts Here. Come down to Law, L-A-W, and then you'll come over to, it pops up some more, and you come to Court Forms and Process. Okay, I'm pretty sure we have something in here on foreclosure. Hang on a minute.
In case, in your administration, you know, that would help me for my case.
What's that?
Is there any case that would help me for my case?
Yeah,
are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm trying to find something for you.
I'm
on foreclosures here in the website for download.
Yeah.
Give me a minute. I'm scrolling.
Okay.
This notice and demands. You know, you can start with
or
the
if
notice.
I can shoot you an email and then you can return and, you know, look it up.
Well, there's a couple of things. Well, you'll have to do it. I don't think I have anything on this page, but there's two ways to go. Number
okay.
one, go to our federal cases, okay, under on the blue bar, and you can come down to, let's see, where do we have this? The grand jury docket. You can click on that, and you can pull up some of the foreclosures, I think, there. Let me see, foreclosures, memorandum, move for cause, habeas corpus. We got lots of foreclosures out here.
Oh, you do?
Due process, yeah. Denied habeas corpus, felony rescue. Where are the foreclosures? Because I know we got a lot of them. Grievances, writs, habeas corpuses, non-judicial foreclosure. Okay, we've got a whole bunch of them. They're all pretty much the same. If you click on, let's say, one, and here's the paper written concerning the foreclosure problem. It's a fraud. So this is where
yes.
you start in the court. You want to file a paper similar to this, if not the very same thing. You make it yours, though. Make the changes.
Yeah, I changed a couple words.
Whatever is necessary, be very careful. After you finish doing that, set it aside. You should do it now before the court, before they pull you to court, because they're going to pull you into court. And again,
right.
that whole facade also. But in any event, prepare now. Do this paper and then go through, set it aside for a day or two, then come back and reread it, looking for anything that needs to be changed because this paper is not written for you. The other thing is also you might be able to enrich it one way or another, change some words, some phrases, some sentences. Just be careful. Adding things in, you want to stick to constitutional positions and points. You want to stick to the layout of fraud. Pretty much you want to pretty much keep almost this entire paper. But this is the beginning of your argument, and they have to respond. And now you create, when you take this paper and you file it, okay, and you do what's called a counter suit. It's a counter lawsuit, okay? So you're coming in and
complaining.
Okay. And when you do that, you want them to admit and deny. So you lay this paper out, and then you get to a point where you create what's called a admit and deny. And then you put questions in them that you know that when they respond to those questions, they will agree to a lot of the things that's in this paper. You want to create questions concerning this paper, and they need to admit or deny it. All you admit
yes.
and deny means you have to be very careful, because if there's two potential ways to answer it, you know, they'll answer one way and not the other. In other words, if you ask a question and you're looking for two or three points, okay, if they can deny any one of those two or three points, they can deny all those points. So it's a game they play, but you just have to ask the questions very simply. One question, you're looking for one simple answer, another question, another simple answer, another question, another simple answer. They have to admit or deny.
When I countersuit, Can I countersuit for all of the years, the back years I paid?
Well, no, that's a whole different story now. No, you're countersuing them to cease and desist, go away, because what you're doing is a fraud, number one.
Right.
Also understand who's suing you, the bank?
Pardon me?
Who's suing you, the bank?
No, the Treasury.
No, the Treasury doesn't come in here after this unless it's a tax foreclosure.
Yeah, it's a tax foreclosure.
Okay.
I'm behind in my tax. Well, I'm not behind, no.
All right, tax foreclosure is the same fraudulent system, but it's a different process, you see, because you really, for instance, let me think about this. You're going to want to know by what authority they try to take your foreclose on your property. That's number one. They're probably going to put statutes in. And once they put statutes in, then you tell them, let them know that's a denial of due process. And that puts you in a position to move to federal courts for a denial of due process. And then you can tell them to cease and desist. That's all you're looking for in the federal court. Have them cease and desist. And then the case is over, and they can't come back out after you because they can't come after you outside of statutes to begin with. And statutes itself is a denial process. You have to, you know, we have a lot of papers we've written, a lot of information on all kinds of things. Foreclosure is one of them. And, you know, what you need to find is the key points that will support your case. And pull that out.
Okay.
But a denial of due process, I forget where, there's a Supreme Court case, we do have it on a website somewhere, you'll have to search it out. There's a Supreme Court case that says that statutes is a denial of due process. I'll tell you what, try Grok to see if Grok will give you a right answer, because if it's a Supreme Court case, they're not going to hide that. They're just going to tell you what the Supreme Court case says. Yeah, there is a case out there that says a denial of due process, statutes deny due process.
Okay.
Use the Supreme Court case to leverage your case.
Okay, and it's Grok AI?
I use Grok because the only reason I, you know, look, it. My wife was using it and playing around with it, and she said, oh, you should use Grok, you should check it. And I ignored her, and I said, no, I don't want to get lost in that. But one day I decided I had a problem, and it was a simple problem, you know, for a simple question.
Uh-huh.
And I started using it, and I found it's pretty good. And I use Grok for one reason. I use Grok because it's Musk's, you know, AI. And it still has the status quo problems, but it's still Musk's number one. And I perceive most likely it's probably one of the best. I could be wrong on that. It's a guess. And, you know, so I downloaded the Grok right onto my desktop. So I have Grok set right on my desktop. I can open up Grok, ask any questions, and get answers. And what's good about the one that you put on your desktop is all of your questions, you know, you go back to any question you asked in the very beginning, you're late, whatever. You can find all of your conversations with Grok very quickly. If you use Grok online, they don't keep your conversations online. So you can't go and review history. But if it's on your computer, you can view history because it's on your computer.
Oh, okay. You're coming off and on, in and out, in and out.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'm coming off and on for other people too, but I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right, anyway, if you need to review this information, you can go up to YouTube or up to Rumble and listen in. Or you can go out to... Matter of fact, you can go, if you go to our website and you go to our welcome page, okay? Oh, no, I'm sorry,
okay.
Not welcome. Our Monday night call page, if you go there, top left side, and you come down, you will see Monday night recording. So these are MP3s if you want to listen to them in MP3s. If you want to watch them in a video, then you want to go to out to YouTube or Rumble, and that you can get to that on our right side of our webpage. You'll see, for instance, a link for here, for instance, subscribe to our Rumble channel. If you click on that, you'll go over to our Rumble channel. We also have YouTube up here. If you want to go to our YouTube channel, you can find that link, and it'll take you straight to our YouTube channel.
We got a couple.
I do have Rumble.
I joined Rumble.
Okay. Well, Rumble. If you got Rumble, if you got the without the commercials, you got a paid service?
Uh huh.
If you got a paid service for Rumble, you want to go there because then you don't have to listen to any of the commercials. Same thing
right.
with YouTube. If you have a subscription with YouTube, they're pretty cheap. It's not expensive. And you
yes.
have
mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I'll wait until they start.
Well, you should start preparing right now if you know.
Yeah,
the company.
I am. I have been.
Start with your papers that I just went through and work from there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, John.
You're welcome. All right, we only have one other person left in the queue, so if anybody else wants to get into the queue, now is the time. Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an Apple browser, should be a button. Okay, we got Robert from Texas back. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yes, John. This is Bob in Texas, and last week you wanted me to call back. And I was wanting to explore the local options at getting remedy on our Declaration God-given rights and our Constitution, and also, you know, to fulfill a lot of needs. I think you listed at least 10 of them last week. And you wanted to explore the opportunity of growing the group locally, and I guess one of the main arguments are the people that show up are the ones that are really interested, and they've got a problem with something probably related to declaration or the Constitution violations. But so anyway, I kind of wanted to discuss that with you a little bit. So can you hear me? We got disconnected.
Yeah, I can hear you. Is there a question in there? You wasn't coming in too
okay.
clear.
Yeah, what would be your primary need that you mentioned this week and last week?
Primary need? You mean of NLA's primary needs?
You broke up a little.
I'm sorry, I missed that again. Say it again.
Your needs, like... volunteers.
Oh, okay.
Committees of correspondence, committees of safety, organizing.
Right. We need people for numerous things. We can also use people. People might realize we need a certain help in a certain way that we don't even realize yet, and they can propose that. We need people who can talk on the phone. We can instruct them on the process of communications with our committees of safety. I believe we've already written up a plan for how to approach them and how to talk to the people and, you know, certain things you want to talk about and bring up and certain things you want to lead them to for educational purposes. Also to explain to them the importance of a committee of correspondence, that every committee of safety has to have a committee of correspondence so that they can communicate with other committees of safety, county next door, or whatever the case may be. And it's one thing. I mean, we can train people for that. And again, I think we have written instructions for that already. The other thing we're looking for is someone who knows how to approach big business that might be looking for things to fund, maybe because it's tax write-offs, maybe because they want to do something that's good. I don't know, whatever the case that motivates them. But there are plenty of people out there that are willing to give money. I don't know how to approach them. If someone knows how to approach those people, then we can use help there.
Yeah.
We need a lot of help.
I'd like to, you know, address each of these.
Okay. Do you want to address them now, or you want to get together?
Crazy. My phone goes crazy when I'm talking to you, so I'm probably being tapped. But
Do you have a smartphone that you can use an app on, or do you can go out to our website on your phone and use our browser to talk, or do you have a computer or just a smartphone, or what do you got?
Yeah, I've got three smartphones and a Chromebook, but it might be just better talking one-on-one. But anyway, so the idea is we need to aggregate groups locally to grow the National Liberty Alliance nationally, and I think we can do that by getting going on offense instead of defense. You know, when they get us into court, we're playing in their, in their card game, and they've stacked all the deck. But the people that show up at commissioner's court and school boards are interested in getting things done, and so the plan would be to aggregate those folks. And
well, that's a great idea, to go to those meetings to bring them out. National Liberty Alliance to work together and create committees of safety.
Right.
So,
we know where they're going to be. We know when they're going to be there, and we can meet earlier or stay after to discuss what went on in court, what they voted on unconstitutionally, or what funds they're using. The ARPA funds are the main thing.
What you want to do maybe is solicit the people, get there early, be at the front door, and hand out a flyer as people go in, and figure out something to say to them that after the hearing, we can get together maybe for a cup of coffee in the diner across the street or whatever, and as many people as we can, and let's discuss some potential solutions to these problems that we're here for, and solutions for many other problems that you haven't even thought about. And the flyer that you might be able to hand out, you can find on our front page, and it's right on the top almost. It says download NLA flyer. It's a PDF. So if you click on that, you'll open up a page where you can print this off. You can print off 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever you think you need. When I went out on the 4th for the parade that comes right through our town here, I printed off, I think it was 300 flyers, and I handed out 300 flyers. You don't need 300 flyers, but if you think that there's going to be 30 people there, then you print out 30 flyers. And basically, you let the people know that, hey, after the meeting here, we're open to discuss these things, and the education that's the free education that's being offered to you to solve the problems that you're coming here for.
Great. And as far as, solving the problems, we always talk about using the Constitution, but I've come down that we ought to use the reasons for which the Constitution was written, and those were the laws that we had when we declared independence, the laws that no human law should be suffered to contradict, which is in the first sentence of the U.S. Code, and then and then you go down to the guide given unalienable rights, like liberty, property, pursuit of happiness, and consent. And then you look at the major parts of the Constitution, first sentence, we the people. It's got to be we the people doing this, not a big, we're not going to influence the governor from our county, but our counties collectively could influence the governor or our representatives. But I don't know, somehow this just seems so easy if we just hold the people that are in office to their oath, and then we can demonstrate to them, it'd be good if it's, multiple people, and those multiple people should grow from week to week, because we have meetings every week. And then address, the judge or the commissioners or the city council members, as a group, and make clear to them that they need to know their worth, so we got an opportunity to teach them there. Or, you know, we're going to remove them either by the ballot box or actually proceed to remove them while they're still in office. So I think this could just be like, you know, a real wildfire, but it's just we got to get the spark to start it, like James Otis did with the revolution in the Massachusetts House of Representatives. And I just see so much remedy, and I've produced one world-changing thing, and also managed to get rid of Tom Foley, by instructing people how to use the internet back in the day before nobody had it, and then other things. But I think these elected bodies, the people that go to those, are ripe for becoming members of MLA. When I first joined, I got sent a spreadsheet of like 12 members. I didn't know where any of them were, and none of them seemed to be too local. And you know, most people are busy working, so they don't have the time to go to all these. You know, commissioner's court and city council is always at 9:30 and 9 o'clock, and then the school boards are at night, so no people can go to those. But
those are the places that you can really build membership from. But go ahead.
Where was that to build membership?
Yeah, I agree with you that those are the places to go to try to build membership for committees of safety.
Right. And those and the people that you meet there are ones that typically return. You know, they're maybe
right. They're invested in being involved because of problems, and they're sick and tired of it, and they're coming to the meetings for that. So you can go to board meetings, town board meetings. You can go to town meetings or school board meetings. You can, and you know, like for instance, my county, I believe, has 21 or 22, I think, school districts. Maybe it's 18, whatever it is. That means you have 18 possibilities within your county that you can go to those particular school board meetings, which I'm sure is on different dates. And so you can spend a lot of time and collect a lot of people and invite them to come together in a particular place that you might want to prepare early that you know that you can go to. Usually a diner. I know like a lot of these diners, I know a diner I go to, you know, we have meetings there and we go to the back of the diner and it's private, it's nice, and we can talk and communicate. So you can start with something like that. If you have a Denny's around, I don't know if Denny's is still around, but if there's a Denny's around, Denny's always has a back room, a place where you can go in and...
Yeah, no, getting a meeting place is not going to be hard.
Right, well, then when you approach these people, you invite them to the meeting. You get their phone number and an email address, and you invite them to that meeting, and you get together and start talking and meeting on a monthly basis, and that's the beginning of creating a committee of safety. And also, if you go... You go out to nationallibertyalliance.org and highlight Start a Committee of Safety. You come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. We have all the handbooks on how to structure a committee of safety, you know, how to come together and put your committee's charter together and a resolution. We have videos on that. We have handbooks on that. How to meet your sheriff, a plan to get the sheriff on board with you.
Let me interject there. Commissioner's courts are the perfect place to meet the sheriff.
Yeah,
Come 10 minutes early, and then you can grab him right after the, you know, the court.
Right, that's the beginning of your discussion. And what I would suggest to people, if you're going to make contact with a sheriff, there's two books you got to have or should have. One is Government by Consent.
I've printed out bookshelves of binders with most of the stuff that I can use, you know.
Well, also the handbook for the county sheriff, you can print that off, or you can get
copies of that.
Right, you can get the PDF copies of that. All the handbooks, you can get PDF copies on this page. But if you want to get a little handbook that the sheriff can stick in their pocket, that's the most powerful. For the main reason it's the most powerful, because it's written a word in a booklet form, and that gives it a little more, you know, clout to the sheriff. But anyway, you give them a copy, and Government by Consent is an important book. It's 550 pages, and you can direct the sheriff to the, you know, the chapter on sheriffs, and be known that, look, there's so much stuff here on the law that you should really know. You should go through the whole book when you have time. Then what you do is, once you give them the books, then you want to get them a copy of the charter, once you get a committee of safety going, and a copy of your resolution. You want to have that bound or binded, so it's like booklet form. You can take that down to a Staples or Office Max or someplace and have that done. And then you give that copy to the sheriff when the next time you meet them, and then when they look through that, they'll understand who you are, what you're doing, and that you're following the law and the process, and they'll have a good appreciation for that. They'll also see you as constituents, people who will support him in his next run for sheriff, of course, should he have the desire to be really be a law enforcer instead of a code enforcer.
Our sheriff's been the Sheriff's Association for the whole of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I'm wanting to do is get more on offense and confront them with what they don't know. And Blackstone is very explicit on the people that we put in office don't know the common law. And he mentioned ignorance 17 times in the first 61 pages, referring to those who think they have the right to serve. So I want to get on offense and actually show them where they're violating the Constitution or they did something wrong. You know, like these courts, these judges show up there all the time, especially at budget time, which is going to be week after Tuesday. And you know, and talk to them there with a group of people that have lost their kids or had their civil assets forfeited, and just it's time to get on up and make things. I think, you know, everybody's so urgent to get something done, and this seems the way to do it is, in each of our counties, each of our city councils, and each of our school boards, making some progress there and growing the group that way. So if we had a specific flyer focused on aggregating the group and getting the name. See, I'm the idea guy. I've always worked for really important people. And it's kind of their problem to make them famous or rich. And this is one way we could actually get National Liberty Alliance funding. And one of the things that I found to be really successful is when you're at these meetings and somebody speaks and, you know, you feel like giving them a contribution, but nobody's going to do it individually. But if you pass a hat around, it's amazing how much money gets thrown into a hat.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you can go out to National Liberty Alliance on the front page. I mentioned this earlier. I think you were asking again. We have a flyer that you can click on. It's right on the top of our front page. But also, you mentioned Blackstone, and for those interested in reading through Blackstone, we have Blackstone Volume 1 and 2 in downloadable PDF books. So you can download. We have got a lot of books that are free online. You come under Education Starts Here, and you come down to, let's see, I think it's, what do I have here, books. Should be articles, essays, educational videos, law. Oh, free PDF books. Education Starts Here, free PDF books. And there's a whole slew of different books that people can read. You know, I don't know if anybody's read the Federal Mafia, but you can download that book. Okay. We have The Law. That's a book. It's a short book. It's a powerful book. But we have a lot of books. But we also have Blackstone's Volume 1 and 2. we have Black's Law 2nd edition, and we also have Black's Law 4th edition. So we've got a lot of stuff you can read in the book.
We're kind of running out of time to study, and it's really time to get some remedy in person. And like the people that I'm on a signal thing with 200 and some delegates to the GOP convention, and I'm the one everybody asks declaration, God given in it, you know, as a nature, nature's God, quite remedy, you know, questions. Like, so, and I think we can kind of educate each other as we grow these groups in these weekly or monthly meetings, depending on, you know, what elected body it is. And really, it can be really simple. And but everybody and all of the media, they just talk about the problems, but they never talk about the solutions. And I'm thinking showing up in the body of the beast, which is equally ignorant across America, yeah, to educate them and show them where they're failing us and they're violating the law. And, you know, they should be removed from office or either, you know, start following the law or step down.
Well, absolutely, and education is an important part. A deep education is not necessary, you know, by going through Blackstones, for instance, but going through the process of the main things. You know, we've created a lot of PDF books that are downloadable for free, and these are the things that people should be looking at and discussing on their committees of safety. You know, every time a committee of safety comes together, they should spend 20 minutes to a half hour on a particular subject matter. We have lots of MP4 videos, and we also have, again, at the very, if you come to start a committee of safety and you come down to handbooks, videos, and tools, I mentioned that a little earlier, there are short videos here, maybe 20 minutes long. And if you play one a month, one every time you have a meeting, and then get to the business of your meeting, you'll be able to be educated as time goes on. The first video that we have here is the National Liberty Alliance presents Government by Consent. None of these videos are too long. We try to keep them reasonably short. The next one is the Committee of Safety, creating a Committee of Safety charter. Goes through step by step. Plus, we have a book written on that, which is downloadable in PDF. Then the same thing on committees of safety resolutions. You'll find that in a committee of safety handbook. And then the plan to meet your sheriff. Okay. And again, we have that information not only on this video, but we have it in the committee of safety handbook. Also, education committee, which is probably the first committee you want to create, is the education committee, because that's where you're going to build your biggest membership on.
We heard a committee at the state committee, so when two or more are gathered,
there's a lot of background noise. I don't know if we can get rid of the background noise. But anyway, we also have the Committee of Safety video on Committee of Safety political process, because you want to get involved with the political process, but not the politics, not to get involved with any of the political parties, because they're destructive. Okay, so all of these, and we got PowerPoint, a whole bunch of PowerPoints that could be played. There's so much education. And the education starts under Start a Committee of Safety. And as time goes on, over the course of a year, you know, you're going through one thing at a time in a meeting, and people will peruse and go through things in their own time, and the knowledge you'll gain is just unbelievable.
We're sort of talking on broadly disparate points. I'm talking about focused action on current concerns where people are getting screwed locally, where we can show them what the law says and then have them bring their friends or spouses and to show up at these meetings, and after we've educated them on what they're doing wrong, and then approach, you know, the elected body member. So
well, let, me, Every committee of safety should have a committee that deals with the law, and those people that run on that committee need to really spend a lot of time educating themselves in order to train and teach other people how and what they can do. And again, you can get that main education right here at National Liberty Alliance. Anybody that wants a real serious education in the law, and remember, common law is simply common sense. It's not statutes and regulations, it's common sense. And the law is what you say it is, as long as it's common sense. But if you come here and you go under education, is it education starts here? Let's see. Yeah, education starts here. You come down to court access and the common law, okay? And that particular course will train you to be able to go into a court and take care of your own legal needs,
I'm trying to get people aggregated to fix the needs of the people that show up at these meetings that have a problem and want to protest or whatever, and are fearful of the data center coming in or losing their wire because, you know, they need cooling and are having their electric rates go up because as far as what I get out of Blackstone, there's only one sentence, or only like seven words that we even need to know, and those are the words that no human law should be suffered to contradict. So if we know that and proceed on that, then we can do the research as the committee grows, you know, as the seeds sprout and the trees produce seeds and you grow a forest. But we don't have a forest, so we don't have a bunch of trees that can study each of these things in the Committee of Safety because we don't really have a committee. We just have the one person studying it. So what I'm trying to do is go the other way and grow it from each local county, the 3,940, whatever it is. So we sort of have a different method of attack here. I think the time for education is now, but it has to be focused education on the problem at hand that we're all facing, and that goes nationwide.
Well, again, the general education that everyone needs is found in the handbooks. That's a general education. We have very simple courses on the Constitution 101, which is bare minimum on the Constitution that people should know. But the other thing is if you get a law committee, and every committee of safety should have a law committee, and that law committee should be a few people who are dead serious in studying and knowing the law, particularly the common law, and understanding due process and how the court system works. Now, a lot of people think they know these things. A lot of people think they understand a procedure and process. They understand certain things that they try to do in court, and a lot of that stuff is wrong. I followed a lot of different people in the beginning trying to understand, for instance, the difference between law and equity. And there was this big law group online that we used to go visit, and they would talk about, they didn't know what the difference was between law and equity. I didn't know, I was trying to find out. And they didn't know it. And if they didn't know it, then they really don't understand the law. I found out because I found out what law means, and I found out what equity means, and what the process of a court process is. You know, you have to know how due process works. You have to know how to go through the procedures and take care of a court case. So if anybody, once you start a law committee, you do have to have people there that really do know what they're talking about. And until that time comes, as people are studying, or maybe some people already know and could take those positions, I don't know. But they can always come to National Liberty Alliance on our Monday night meeting and ask their information concerning court cases, and we can assist them.
Okay, let me throw out an example. What would the research have to say on flock cameras that are going in right now and need to be stopped? If we go that route with the committees studying the law, what are they going to find on how to pursue flock surveillance cameras?
Oh, surveillance cameras. Well, good question. You know, surveillance cameras has a good side to it, and it's got an evil side to it. You know, these traffic things that they're putting up where they catch you speeding and mail you a ticket, or they capture you passing a red light and they mail you a ticket, you know, that's a serious problem. Cameras could be a violation of your privacy, that's true. In public, you know, it's debatable because you're in public. People can see you anyway. A lot of these cameras are put up by stores and people in their own homes, and there seems to be a way that they can connect into those cameras, I guess. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I haven't really thought much about it. I know that there are good things, and I know there's bad things. But that's something that a committee of safety might want to discuss and see one.
Okay. The way I look at this problem is that flock camera, you can see everybody everywhere at one time. That's not the way I look at this. But I see flock cameras worse than the writs of assistance that James Otis Jr. brought to the attention of all the colonists. I think flock cameras are way worse and way more sinister and need way more attention.
Spell that for me. Are you saying block, B-L-O-C-K, cameras?
No, F-L-O-C-K, cameras. Those are going to be displaced.
I missed that. Spell that again. F-O what?
Like a flock of geese.
Okay, flock, F-L-O-C-K cameras. What exactly is a flock camera?
That's what they're using for surveillance. It is worse than...
Who's using it for surveillance where?
There's a deflock.com website, and you almost can't see any dirt in big portions of the United States for the flock camera icons that appear. So, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of them out there now, and they want millions.
And where are they, and what kind of, what are they looking to do?
In China, there's 300 million.
Yeah, but what are they trying to do with it?
They're trying to make us a, you know, the societal score like China.
It's all about
bringing in the CBDCs, the Central Bank Digital Currency, or its equivalent. And we really are in the final throes of the republic if we don't get some remedy.
I'm going to go out to deflock.com this week and check it out to see once what that's all about. You know, if they have an organized system that they're doing and doing this nationally to put these cameras out there, which could be an evil thing, I don't think the U.S. government should do it. I don't think the state should do it. There are certain municipalities that might do it, and I'll give you an example. You know, I live in Dutchess County, New York, and Poughkeepsie is not too far from me. And if you went up onto Main Street 10, 15 years ago, a lot of drugs, prostitution, and muggings, and all kinds of stuff. But about 15 years ago, the city put up cameras along Main Street. And those cameras go directly to the local police station. And when they see some kind of a violation of the type I just mentioned, they snuff it out. All that is all gone. There is no more prostitution. There's no more drug dealing on Main Street. I mean, it's really been cleaned up. And then now a lot of the businesses are coming back, and they're refacing their buildings, and it's starting to look real pretty. So there's a case where that could be beneficial. But I also can see how that can be abused somehow. I don't know how the municipality could abuse it per se, but if the federal government was doing this and putting it all over the place, I'd be questioning that. That's a serious problem.
The purpose of that military agreement that passed the House, I don't think it's passed the Senate yet, is specifically to use these cameras, Israel, IDF, to round up Americans who are identified as terrorists, like 53 different types of terrorists that are American Christians. So
I can see that obviously is a problem, and I could see this nation was heading that way. We weren't far away from that, but I think Trump has snuffed that out. He's really put a...
They're still going.
And, well, a lot of things are still going, but they're not going to complete, and a lot of
John,
things will be dismantled probably. Yeah.
I put an article in, I guess it'll go out next week. It's called Guess Why Flock is Being Replaced by Axon. They got a lot of flack on Flock, and they finally started taking them down. This Axon is even more insidious because it can just pop it. Takes about 15 to 30 seconds to pop this on top of a street light anywhere, and it's all wired in, and it's all hooked up, and it's ready to go, and they're going to have a gazillion more, I think, for 40 or 50 times more than they have a Flock. And it's not any better. It has a much better communication stuff, and they can track you down and get all of your information. They got the license plate readers and all that kind of stuff on it, and the eyeball scanning sorts of stuff, too. It's just horrific what this thing is. It's just a huge mess.
Well, Axon is used by the vast majority of the police departments in the United States right now, and that's another inducement to,
I don't have too much knowledge of this stuff. I'm definitely going to look into it. It doesn't sound good. I agree with that. Surveillance cameras locally, I don't know, as long as they're not, connected city to city, town to town, state to state, like that's what this sounds like. It's really
That's in the past, John. We're way beyond that.
Yeah, I understand that. But that is a problem, those kind of cameras, because it's got an evil purpose behind it. And I can see them sending people all kinds of violations. I don't think we have to worry too much about being, an individual that might be claimed as a sovereign citizen as much as we did a few years back. But with Trump in office, I think a lot of this stuff's going to come down. We'll see what happens. But I do think that this Flock camera thing does sound pretty dangerous, and I'll look into it. Maybe, if I can have people help me do certain research, if I decide to do this, maybe we'll take it into federal court.
Here's the deal, though. Each of us individually can stop the Flocks in our cities, in our counties, and especially if we've got the committee of safety that's showing up at meetings regularly, and approach, and everybody speaks on it with a certain, topic of what's unconstitutional about the Flocks. Like, I would speak that this is worse than what we declared independence for back, in 1761 is when it started, the writs of assistance thing. So, and then with all other counties, this is why we got to grow rapidly. If we do it in all the counties, each county, then we'll get rid of it nationwide.
Well, again, you have to organize the people to get it done. The people have to get involved. People have to give some of their time. People have to get a little bit of an education. And unfortunately, most people aren't willing to do that. There is a small percentage of people that will do it if you can find that small percentage. And the only way you can find that small percentage is to hit critical mass. If we hit critical mass and 100, 200,000 people come out to our website, maybe we can pull 1% that will really be so involved that we can do some real serious things. But critical mass is an important thing to get. And how can we get critical mass? The people can help us get critical mass by going out to their places, their social medias, and talk about National Liberty Alliance, share National Liberty Alliance stuff, get people to come to our Monday night meeting, get people to get onto the website, and get that word of mouth going. You could do that through social media. If someone has listened to podcasters that have a decent amount of people that is tuning in on them, And if they do interviews, then they can make contact with these individuals that are doing podcasts. They can send the information, the contact information to these people, to Jan at National Liberty Alliance, and then we can have you know, get on there and give get interviewed. Interviews is a good way for us to get people to come to National Liberty Alliance. So it's up to the people to really work with us to do these things. Yep. And that's how we can hit critical mass. If people at least get involved doing that, and then we can at least get a small percentage of people that will get real serious about education, that will help to lead all of us into, you know, in the counties wherever you live.
Robert, I have a question for you. I'm sitting here going through the member list for NLA, and I can't find your phone number. I was going to send you an email with a couple of links I think you should take a look at. Are you a member, or have you changed your phone number and not changed your My Account?
I'm logged in on the website, but I'm calling on my phone.
I know, but are you a member of NLA so I can find your email address?
I don't do the $5 event thing, but I feel guilty for not sending in more than that. So
I guess I
don't get tied to an auto withdrawal or anything like the first caller.
I guess I didn't get an answer to my question. Are you a member so I can send you an email?
Well,
I'm not being as a member.
Yeah, and his phone number is right up there if you see under his name.
Yes. Well, what I'm telling you, John, is when I look up that number isn't a member of NLA.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have any information on him. And people always are changing their telephone numbers, and they forget to go to My Account and change that information so that we can communicate with people.
What's your member name, Robert? You know, when you come on to National Liberty Alliance...
let me just put up on my other device here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm going to look it up on my other device.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've got a Robert L, a W, a E, a C, another L, a T, an F.
Robert L. In Texas.
Okay, I got two Robert L's at least. Whoa. Help me out here, I'm struggling.
He's Robert L. in Texas, Jan.
He what?
He's Robert L. in Texas.
Yeah, well, I've got at least two of those, and I can't tell which one he is, because neither one of them has that phone number. What town are you in? Are you in Hidalgo? I guess I didn't understand what you said. I didn't pick it
Tyler.
Up. Tyler?
I'm in Tyler.
You're in Tyler.
Is that a town or a county?
The city, 28th largest in the state.
Well, this one here is in Bern. And this one here is in Victoria. So I cannot find any Robert L.
Okay,
in
let me
Tyler.
In here and see what happens.
All right, maybe you can send an email with your information.
Yeah, just send me an email, jan@nationallibertyalliance.org, and so I can talk to you. I'd appreciate it. Thank you much.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and we're running out of time, I guess.
Yeah, we are out of time, but we did have something else that slid into the queue here, so we'll take a minute or two. It looks like Linda from Virginia. Thanks for the call, Robert. We'll talk to you again soon. Okay, Linda from, it looks like from Virginia. Is that you?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, but we only got a couple of minutes because it's late.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. You mentioned the... the cameras. I just got a ticket. It was, you know, one of those cameras. And this is a turn I've made, I don't know, 500 times. And all of a sudden I get a ticket. And I always stop at every stop sign, every red light, every time. And so I couldn't figure out what had happened. I went back there. And I did notice, I watched the video, and sure enough, I sailed right through, you know, right through it. But I noticed that across there was three green lights for all the lanes. And then there was this, you know, little red light, and it was kind of positioned higher than the green lights. So the only thing I can figure out is you don't notice it, you know. And I don't know when they installed it, but anyway, I had so much going on. I had a water main break and everything, so I just paid it. Normally, I would have went to court regardless.
Well, let me ask Jan a question concerning that. Jan, is that part of the Flock cameras, the surveillance for tickets?
The Flock ones are set up on separate posts. The new Amex or whatever I call them, they go right on a stoplight anywhere in the city.
Yeah,
and
this
it just takes minutes to pop them on.
And there are, I've been noticing now, they are almost on every intersection. It is
That's
just
right.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I wanted to mention that, and I also wanted to give an update on my, you know, the HVAC scam or whatever.
Yeah. Before we go into that, hang on a minute. Jan,
okay.
Are you aware of any cases out there going to court on this? Is any group trying to fight this?
Well, the fellow I was following on this is Rentz, Tom Rentz. He's an attorney, and he is very well-read and into all this stuff. And he's telling you, I would listen to the video he did on it, John. It's about an hour long.
Send me the link to that video. I'll go listen to it. I don't know that I want to work with a lawyer unless they're willing to take it from the perspective of a
well, John, this guy is really good.
Yeah,
what's
but we,
the name? What's the name?
Tom Rentz, R-E-N-Z.
Right, I'll take a look at that. Maybe we can work with him. We'll see.
The link will be in the news. Is in the newsletter for next week.
Okay. All right, well, if you send it to me when you get a chance anyway, just so, because I can look at it this week. I want to look into that. I want to look into this stifflock.com this week and search around to see if there are other people that are talking about this that's trying to do something in the courts, and we can try to combine our efforts together, possibly.
The ticket was $50.
Oh. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Look at this is evil, okay? That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's all about money. Number one, it doesn't apply
right.
to it anyway.
I just feel like it's another cash cow revenue stream
Absolutely.
For them, you know?
Absolutely. And if the government turns evil again, and I assure you, if the Lord doesn't come soon and this world continues, the government will return to evil again, because that's the nature of the hearts of men. Unless the people take control and prevent that from happening. I do believe Trump is doing a great job taking this whole system out, but it's up to the people to maintain what he takes out, and then for the people to pick it up from there for the things that that he hasn't done. You know, one of the main things we have to do is get our courts of justice back, and of course that is our main purpose here at National Liberty Alliance. It's one of our main purposes. So.
Okay, and like I said, just a quick update on the HVAC scam that I was ensnared and entrapped in.
Mm-hmm.
I did the demand letter, the verified notice and demand,
uh-huh.
and I gave them 30 days, and I don't know if it was within 30 days. I'll have to check that, but they did respond.
Okay.
And to get a response from them is significant anyway from the start. But all they said was, we're reviewing it.
Yeah.
And they said, let us know if you are going to take any legal action. But I have seen other commenters that are involved in this whole thing, mainly in the solar industry, say that they got the same response to a demand letter, and that there was no follow-up at all.
Yeah, that's something they picked up from the government. The government does that. They love to do that. And they never do really get back to the response of what you're about. But what they will do, though, is they'll come out 3, 4, 5 months later and continue their assault upon you. And this is the problems we have. This is what the government's been doing for a long time, and I guess corporations have picked up on that.
Well, I'm under, they coerced me into getting a no interest loan, a 12-month no interest loan. So I think that they can't take any action till after that.
You should let them know, okay, after 30 days or whatever, you know, they're reviewing it. How many days did you give them?
30.
And how many days have they had it now?
Oh, they've already. It was served by a sheriff in San Francisco, and it's already been 30 days. But.
Okay, well, then I would let them know, hey, your time has run out, buddy. I'll give you your last chance. You got 7 days to respond in detail to my, notice and demand, and if not, then I'm going to file with the courts and move
forward. Yeah, I was thinking that crossed my mind to send them a notice and tell them they're out of compliance. Is that the right term?
Yeah, well, that's good, you know, but you got 7 more days. Give them 7 more days and say, look, if you're not going to respond, you're telling me you want more time. You guys are lawyers. You understand what's written there. This is no secret. It's not something that needs research. You can read English. Read the paper and respond point by point. If you're not going to do that, then you have pleaded guilty, ultimately. I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for. They acquiesced. Okay.
Acquiesced, right.
They acquiesced. So you got 7 days to respond, and if not, you acquiesce. Make sure you do that with a certified letter again, because you see, those are the papers when you go and file in the state court there, then you file and you're going to move for, summary judgment, because they refused. They did not respond. There's no reason why a judge would require you to go through that whole thing all over again. You followed the law, and the law, and they refuse to answer. And when they have a duty to answer, and they refuse to answer, that's called fraud.
You know, I have put this whole thing up on a site on Jetpack WordPress, and I'm posting everything. For the benefit of all the solar victims and everything. So everything I do is posted on there. And I posted the verified notice and demand on there. So anyway.
All right. Well, we could pick up on this next week. I got to go. It's 11 minutes over, and my dog
okay.
is here.
Yeah, I knew it was last minute. So.
Okay. Well, we'll talk again. Have a good night. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday.
Yep.
Good night, everybody.